welcome to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM with me, Sean Delaney. Inside Education is your weekly guide to all matters related to teaching and learning from an Irish perspective. You can listen to or download podcasts of hundreds of previous episodes by going to seandelaney.com and clicking on podcasts. Well, it's that time of the year now when post-primary schools have closed and state exams are well underway. The countdown to the summer holidays has begun in primary schools, but June is a busy month, with end-of-year tests, school reports, sports days and school tours on the horizon for many teachers and pupils. And the school tour is the subject of this week's programme. I'm going to talk about various aspects of planning a school tour to enhance its educational potential for the children in your class, and to help the day run smoothly for everyone concerned. For children, the highlights of the day may centre on the novelty of being away from the classroom, the food they eat, and what they buy in the gift shop. However, the Department of Education and Skills looks at school tours differently. The Department of Education and Skills has a number of circulars in force relating to school tours. The most important is Circular 1279 from 1979, which states that the objective of educational tours for schools should be that they be of benefit in the intellectual, cultural and social development of the pupils taking part in them. And any activity in connection with a tour which is in conflict with this objective is to be avoided. If the 1979 Department Circular were to be rewritten 40 years later, it would probably include an additional reference to physical development, given the importance of physical activity for all of us, and young children in particular. For teachers, planning a school tour takes a lot of work, and trying to design one around intellectual, cultural and social benefits for children is no trivial task. Where to go? One way to start planning a school tour, depending on the age of the class, is to discuss with the children where they would like to go or ask them to make a case in writing for some venue. This could be from a shortlist created by you, the teacher, or you could leave it wide open. Ireland's tourism infrastructure is of high quality, and as a result, many options are available when choosing a school tour destination, including sports and adventure settings, cultural and historical, the arts, the environment, an overnight stay, travel abroad, or various combinations of these. For sports, adventure or activity, the National Aquatic Centre is a potential venue, and many activity centres offer courses such as orienteering, rock climbing, hill walking or kayaking. I've brought classes in the past to Burr Outdoor Education Centre, but most counties now have their own centres. Cultural and historical venues may include local museums or sculptures, or national ones may be considered, such as the Doyle, the National Library, the National Museum, the GAA Museum and Croke Park, or one of the many big houses located around the country, such as Rusborough House. If you have an arts trip in mind, you could consider venues such as a local theatre, the Ark in Dublin's Temple Bar, the National Gallery or the National Concert Hall. The fourth category is environment, and you may visit a local farm such as Nore Valley Park Farm outside Kilkenny or Airfield in Dublin, Dublin Zoo or Glencree Reconciliation Centre. Although overseas trips are more common with secondary school students, sometimes primary schools will go on such trips. I remember accompanying a class to Chester a number of years ago. Even within Ireland, an overnight trip involves lots of responsibility, but senior primary school classes enjoy them. My experiences of this relate to overnight visits to the activity centre in Burr. Once bedtime came, the children were tired following the exertions of orienteering or hill walking. The only rule needed in the dormitories was that they could talk for as late as they liked, as long as their heads remained on their pillows. The chat rarely lasted longer than 10 or 15 minutes. Teachers will have different priorities when planning a school tour. For example, a colleague of mine who taught in a school serving an area of urban disadvantage speaks about how he saw the students he taught in a different light when they travelled from their regular school and home environment to a new setting, such as a farm. Characteristics of children not typically seen in the classroom setting frequently emerged. When choosing a school tour venue, many factors will be considered, such as previous school tour destinations, the age and maturity of the children, the cost involved, the distance, and of course the content of the curriculum during the year. A school tour offers an ideal opportunity to reinforce classroom or book learning by seeing real-life examples of geographical features such as drumlins, cliffs, a peninsula or a headland, or trying to imagine what it was like to be a monk long ago in Glendalough or Clonmacnoise. Health and safety. Bringing children away from their classroom is a big responsibility for any teacher, and health and safety concerns are top of most teachers' agendas. First, you want to make sure to bring enough adults to accompany the children. This will be age and venue dependent, but if you can have one adult for every 10 children, that should work in most cases. Ideally, the adults will be people who know the children already, such as other teachers or parents who have volunteered in the school. A student on placement may also be able to help. You need to check that all helpers are eligible under school Garda vetting policies. Children can be divided into groups in advance of the trip, and each adult can be given a list of names of children who they are asked to stay with as necessary for group activities during the day. It is helpful for the teacher to have a list of names of all the children in the class for routinely checking who is present and who is absent at transition moments during the day. Contact details of parents and colleagues are also helpful in case of delays, illnesses or accidents during the tour. Try to minimise the need to cross busy streets or roads when planning school tour venues. Ideally, streets will be crossed at traffic lights or pedestrian crossings when the lights are green for pedestrians. If that's not possible, in a rural area, a high-vis vest may be helpful, and make sure the children cross the road as quickly as possible. On a day like a school tour, I like to inform children about a specific command that, if I utter it, it means something serious is afoot and their immediate attention is required. A term such as freeze can be agreed in advance for such situations. Once agreed, I'd only use it if there is a potential risk of injury to at least one person. Bringing a suitably equipped first aid kit is useful in case of minor bumps, bruises, scrapes or stings. Paddy Madden suggests providing high-vis jackets when bringing children on field trips. That may or may not be necessary, but in a crowd it is good to have a way to recognise children associated with your tour. If you plan to bring children on a cruise or passenger boat, check that the vessel is a certified passenger ship or boat. The Marine Survey Office of the Department of Transport, Tourism and Sport maintains a current list of certified vessels on their website. Or the company itself may supply you with any relevant certificates if you ask them. Similarly, venues that are fully insured will have no problem sending you a copy of their public liability certificate if you request to see it. When booking transport with a bus company, check that the company is reputable, known to the school authorities, and that they have safety features in place, such as safety belts on seats. Make sure that the bus has sufficient seats for those who will be travelling. And make sure too that the principal knows about plans for the day and plans for any contingencies that may arise. Risk assessment. Considering the contingencies that may arise is a bit like conducting a risk assessment. This is a way to anticipate occurrences that could happen and to give some thought in advance to what you might do if they did. It's a bit like asking yourself some what if questions. Some situations are likely to occur on every school tour. Others will only happen once in a decade or even less frequently. The consequences of some events happening are minor, and in other cases they are serious. In your risk assessment, you consider the seriousness and likelihood of each one happening and think about how to reduce the risk. Here are some situations you may want to think about in advance of a school tour. What if a child wants to use a toilet at different times of the day? It's probably better for at least two children to go to a public toilet together rather than having an individual child go there alone. Children can be reminded in advance about what to do if anyone approaches them in an inappropriate way. Are there times when all children can use toilets to minimise disruption? What if a child thinks they're going to get sick? What if a child gets separated from the group? What should the child do? What should you do? Or what if the bus breaks down? Who needs to be told about this? And who will do it? What if a child has an allergic reaction? What should be done? Should they have medicine with them? Who may administer it? What if a child gets injured? Who should be notified? Where should the child go? Who should accompany the child? What if a teacher gets injured? Who can take over responsibility if the teacher needs to see a doctor? What if the weather is bad all day and the main events are weather dependent? Is there an alternative plan? Will children have an opportunity to change their clothes? What kind of clothes should they be told to bring with them? Of course, none of us likes thinking about such events, but it's usually better to have done some thinking along these lines before any of the events materialise, because then you may be better able to respond to them. Cost. The cost of a school tour can be a sensitive matter in some schools. The main suggestion I can give is to avoid last-minute surprises. At the start of the school year, it is good to discuss with parents what your plans are for the school tour, or even to seek their suggestions. Remember, if a child has siblings, the cost of multiple school tours may be prohibitive. Bus transport alone for a tour may cost between 10 and 15 euro per child, and admission fees and so on will raise this price further. You could, of course, try to combine places that have an admission charge with places that do not, such as Stephen's Green, the National Museum, the National Gallery, and so on. Your school may have a policy on costs of school tours. Some schools permit more expensive tours for sixth class, but this can vary. If parents are told about the cost early in the year, a savings club may be established where sums of money can be paid off on a regular basis during the year rather than having a large amount to pay at the end of the year. Planning the tour. Planning the itinerary of the school tour lies at the heart of making the school tour educational. What time will you leave? What time will you return? And what will be the central focus of the tour? Will you travel by train, on a public bus service, or with a private bus company? A train or scheduled bus service may be cheaper, but less flexible, whereas a private bus will be more flexible and probably more expensive as well. If you have the flexibility of a private bus, once you decide what the main focus of the tour is, you can check if there is anywhere nearby that is worth a visit. For example, if you're travelling near Carlow, it may be worth visiting Browns Hill Dolmen. Or if you're passing near Moon in County Kildare, it may be worth a detour to view the High Celtic Cross there. Avondale, the former home of Charles Stewart Parnell, is near Glendalough and Clara-Lara. St Brendan's Cathedral in Clonfert may be worth visiting on a trip to or from Galway. It's good to plant some seeds for the tour with the children in advance. In the weeks or days leading up to the tour, you might show them some maps that illustrate the route and some points of interest along the route. You could have them read some materials about the history or geography of the destination they'll visit. Some venues, like the National Museum, have activity sheets and guides that can support you in advance of the tour. The National Gallery of Ireland has downloadable podcasts and resources that can be used to enrich a school visit. If you have the opportunity to visit a venue in advance to anticipate opportunities or potential obstacles that could apply to a visit by the children in your class, that may be a useful thing to do as well. On the day of the tour itself, you can give children clipboards and sheets to use to help them get more out of the visits. You could improvise on this by using bulldog clips and cardboard as clipboards on which to put pages where children can record notes on the day of the tour. The kind of activities that children could do with their notes include sketching, rubbings, recording impressions and descriptions, noting questions they have, measuring or estimating, taking photographs, recording key words, completing a group or individual worksheet. Worksheet guests on field trips seem to be most successful when they are connected to activities that will take place after the trip. You can have questions directed towards objects rather than labels describing objects in a museum. It's good to combine open and closed questions, long and short questions, and written and drawn questions. It should be good as well if the questions are clear about where the information should be gathered and if there are opportunities for students to interact with their classmates when answering the questions. Children's learning is also enhanced through follow-up activities in the classroom after the tour. Assessing the children's learning after the tour can be done through class discussions, drawings, and writing in response to stimuli after the visit. The children may also prepare posters outlining what they did on the day and what they learned. It's good to evaluate the success and problems associated with the tour when it's over. What lessons were learned that will influence next year's tour? Bringing the tour to life. Bringing the route to life. Many buses now are equipped with a PA system, which can be useful for giving children reminders of procedures for the school tour. However, the PA system on a privately hired bus can also be used to draw the children's attention to features of the landscape as you travel through the city or countryside. In other words, a teacher can take on the role of a tour guide to help bring the landscape to life for the children. You can help the children take note of factors such as land use, field size, field boundaries, hills and plains. For example, if you travel through Kildare and Wicklow, the children could be helped to see the differences in the landscape from the plains of Kildare, which is known for horse racing and is the home to stud farms, in contrast with the uplands of Wicklow, where the landscape is very different with lots of walking trails and spectacular scenery. You may be able to point out that the counties most associated with the sport of hurling, such as Cork, Kilkenny and Tipperary, plus their neighbours like Wexford, Waterford, Limerick, Galway, Leash and Clare, are mainly counties with well-drained limestone land. And this too is the land that is most suitable for growing ash trees, the wood from which hurleys are typically made. Throughout the country, lots of evidence exists of Ireland's past, like tower houses that were built between 1400 and 1650 to protect against sudden attacks such as cattle raids. You may pass workhouses or graveyards from famine times. The remains of high crosses from around the 9th century exist near sites of Christian monasteries. These were likely painted in bright colours in the past and illustrated events from the Bible or from the lives of the saints. In different parts of the country, you may have the opportunity to refer to well-known people, such as Patrick Kavanagh in Monaghan, Grace O'Malley along the West Coast, Imelda May in Dublin, Katie Taylor in Bray, or JFK in Wexford. Or you may be stuck in traffic in Dublin. In this case, it is worth pointing out features of the city to the children. Take the Custom House, for instance. Notice the sculptures of heads along the building representing Ireland's main rivers. There is only one woman's head, for the Liffey. The building was burnt down in 1921 but later restored. However, the dome was rebuilt not in the original English Portland stone, but in Irish limestone. It was designed by James Gandon, who was also the architect of the forecourts further down the river. Travelling around the country provides ample opportunities to share stories with children associated with different parts of the country. For example, in Tipperary there is the legend associated with the Devil's Bit and the Rock of Cashel. In Kildare, there is the legend of St. Bridget's Cloak. Passing the Garden of Remembrance in Parnell Square or Lake Derrivara in County Westmeath offer a good chance to tell the story of the children of Lir. Such features of the Irish landscape and culture may be ones you don't know about, but you likely know others. And planning for a school tour can be an opportunity to explore the landscape and do your own research on the route that you'll be using for a particular tour. It can also be interesting to try and work out the meanings of place names by referring to their Irish translation. Bally comes from Balia, meaning town or homestead. Ath comes from Aw, meaning ford. Cool comes from cool, meaning back. And Kill may come from Kill or Quill, meaning churchyard or woodland. You may also encourage the children to play games on the school tour, either among themselves or with you leading. Such games include I Spy with My Little Eye, something beginning with a letter, or 20 Questions, where you have to guess the person, place or thing I'm thinking of, and you can only ask me questions to which I can answer yes or no. Or you can play a treasure hunt, where children look out the window to find certain objects, chosen depending on the route. These may include a horse, a brand of supermarket, a stop sign, a bridge, a church, a school, an ambulance, and so on. Or you could play a themed game related to number plates. What is the oldest or newest car number plate seen out the window of the bus? Or who can collect the widest range of county registrations? How many registration plates can you find ending with the digit 6? Communicating with parents about the school tour. Parents will have questions for you about the tour. Some you may be able to address in a note to parents, some at a meeting, and some through normal daily interactions. The kind of questions parents might have include, where are the children going? What date are they going there? How much does it cost? Is attendance obligatory? What happens to a child who doesn't attend? Is a minimum number of participants required? What time will they leave? What time do they return? Should they bring a lunch? What clothes do they need? Is a particular kind of footwear needed? Is any kind of equipment needed? Can children bring toys with them on the day? Can jewellery be worn? Do they need any books or notebooks on the day? Do they need spending money? Is there a minimum or maximum amount of spending money? How and by when should parents pay for the school tour? Parents may need to inform you of any health conditions or dietary or physical restrictions that may affect their child's participation in any aspect of the tour. The range of venues where you can bring children on a school tour is wide. Here are some traditional and new places that have been used. Kilkenny Castle, Dunmore Caves, Kilmainham Jail, the Gaeltacht, Tato Park, Fota Wildlife Park, Dublin Zoo, Craganowan Castle and Cranogue, the Irish National Heritage Park in Ferry Carrig, Viking Splash Tour, Dublinia, Christchurch, the Wax Museum, the Natural History Museum, Crag Cave, Áras an Uachtaráin, Newgrange, Éilwee Caves, Cliffs of Moher, Bunratty Castle and Folk Park, Bowling, Carlingford, Delphi, Glasnevin Cemetery, Malahide Castle, Dublin Castle, the General Post Office, St Patrick's Cathedral, the National Botanic Gardens, Green and Maze, Jump Zone, Child Vision, Castlecomer Discovery Park, Belfast, the Giant's Causeway, and number 29, the ESB's Georgian House Museum, which I think is currently closed. If there are other venues that you've used or that you find helpful, be sure to tweet them afterwards or send me an email and we can refer to them in a future programme. Finally, here's a list of resources that may be helpful on a school tour. A clipboard and pen, a list of the students' names and their home contact details, a guidebook or information from the area you're visiting, maps of the route and the area, locations of possible toilet facilities. You may also wish to bring along some music that you can play for children in the bus at various stages of the trip. For example, you could play an excerpt from Handel's Messiah, which had its premiere in Dublin, or of Luke Kelly singing Raglan Road if you're travelling through the Balls Bridge area. Other songs associated with places in Ireland include It's a Long Way to Tipperary, The Town I Loved So Well, Galway Girl, The Fields of Athenry, The Rose of Tralee, Molly Malone or Carrick Fergus. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's Inside Education and to my thoughts on school tours. Please leave feedback on Twitter or on the show's website. If you've not yet had your school tour this year, I hope some of the ideas will help you. If you have, then hopefully they'll be of help next year. On next week's programme, I'll have two teachers for you to meet who talk to me about their experiences of school tours. In the meantime, you can email me by writing to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. You can listen back to podcasts of almost 400 previous programmes by going to seandelaney.com and clicking on the podcasts tab. My book about teaching, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have, is available directly from the publisher Routledge or from any online bookstore. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Have a great week.